Good evening. Get your hymn books and turn to page number 323. I'm sorry, that's the one we did this morning, wasn't it? 322. I was just seeing if anybody's paying attention out there in video land. 322. Stand up for Jesus. This one I am going to make you stand up for Jesus. Amen. We'll sing all three verses. 322. If you're at home, you better be standing.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. We that are men now serve him against unnumbered foe. With danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Well, amen. You may be seated. We're glad that you're tuning in once again. I'm glad to have these folks with us. And we decided we have one puppet left, and that is our most faithful puppet. He's always over on this side, and he's always smiling. Never comes to the altar, but he's always smiling. Well, I'm glad that you're here. I hope the sound is better than it has been. We're just using my phone for Facebook Live and recording. And the phone quality's good for the camera, but the sound tended to pick up all the echoing in a very empty auditorium. The funny thing is, though, you can't buy anything anymore. And once all the churches went to live streaming, everything flew off the shelves. And those who are a little slow like me, then we're trying to get what we needed. The funny thing is, I normally would just buy it on Amazon and get it 2 days later. But now it's more like 2 weeks later. And so I bought one thing, and then when I finally got it, turns out it needs something added to it, so I had to get another thing. Once I got the adapter, then it needed a connector, so I had to wait to get a connector. And so just to have sound, what we've done is we've connected the sound to the soundboard so that what's coming through the microphones is and would normally go into the recorder is going into the phone to be broadcast with the service. So I hope the quality is better, less echoey, but I really hope we're not doing this much longer because I don't want to wait and buy any more stuff. Amen. Amen. So anyway, I'm glad that you're listening and present. It's a nice rainy day outside, so gather around your TV, smartphone, laptop, or tablet and sing and participate and pray when it's time to pray and listen when it's time to listen. We'll have as good a service as we can in the circumstances. Father, we do love you. We thank you for allowing us to have this service, and I thank you for all those who will be listening to this online. I pray that you bless the message, bless the singing. Help us to rejoice in these songs and to lift them up to you. Where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst of them. We count on that promise today. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your blessings and for your providential dealings in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next song is 490, Revive Us Again. Can God revive us during this time? Yes, he can. 490.
Well, I've been ordering many, many things here lately on Amazon, and one of them wasn't supposed to get here until May 8th, and it came last Friday.
Amen.
So. I was surprised. Page number 490. Revive us again. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. 490.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
258. And this is a song that makes you think. Do you love Jesus enough to listen to him on, or to listen to the church service on the internet even, when you can't go? Oh, how I love Jesus, number 258.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, how I love Jesus.
On last,
it tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And let's stand together. Give me just a second here. For some reason, I thought there was another song. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Our Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we study this passage and learn a little bit on how we should handle times of adversity and times of prosperity. I pray that you please bless the Word of God now as it speaks to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the most commonly heard phrases following any great tragedy or in the midst of a heartache or great difficulty is the adage, "This too shall pass." Now, many people think this comes from the Bible, but it does not. You'll not find "this too shall pass" anywhere in the Scriptures. It's kind of like the adage that God moves in mysterious ways. Well, that's true, but that's not a Bible phrase. It's just something that we say, and it's a good statement. God does work in mysterious ways, and "this too shall pass" is also a good statement. Just so you know, it's not found in the Bible. The origins of this phrase go back to many ancient stories in Persia and into our modern time, and Abraham Lincoln quoted it many times during speeches in the Civil War. The most well-known version of "this too shall pass" involves King Solomon. Again, this is not a true story. It's not in the Bible. It's a fable meant to teach a moral lesson. The story goes like this, that King Solomon was trying to humble his wisest servant. So he asked him to perform an impossible task, to find something that did not exist. He requested a magic ring, one that, if a sad man wore it, he would become happy, And if a happy man wore it, he would become sad. The servant took the challenge, searched high and low, but on the night before he was supposed to report back to the king, he still had nothing. Then the idea came to him, and he went to the local jeweler and had three words inscribed on a plain gold ring. Gam zi yavor, which in Hebrew means, this too shall pass. King Solomon was delighted at such a phrase because it is true whether someone was happy or sad in all times and situations. He saw that when he was melancholy, the ring would comfort him and remind him of sunnier days ahead. But when he was at the height of joy, the ring would humble him and remind him of life's fleeting nature. This too shall pass, therefore, has a double meaning. When you're enjoying happy and prosperous days, you should stop and consider that they will not last forever. But when you're enduring times of adversity, sorrow, or difficulty, you can stop and consider that these days will not last forever either. Now, usually when we say this too shall pass, we only say it during times of adversity. We don't usually say when we're doing great, hey, this too shall pass, usually just during a time of sorrow. But it does apply both ways. Now, though this story is only a fable and not found in the Bible, it does in fact illustrate a truth that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. In verse 14, he said, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider, God hath set the one over against the other. Now, Solomon was trying to figure out life under the sun or life on this earth. It left him frustrated and depressed, because everywhere he looked, he saw sin and the ongoing effects of sin. And folks, when we look around at the world and we see the sin and the ongoing effects of sin and the injustice and the sorrow and the misery that's in this world, it'll depress you too. It'll depress you. And a lot of folks get very discouraged and depressed when they look around and all they see is under the sun, and they're trying to figure out life without really seeing it from God's perspective. And none of us can really see it from God's perspective. In verses 13 and 14, he's trying to figure out what God does. And folks, even the wisest man to ever live can't think thoughts like God can think. Okay, so even Solomon, the wisest man, other, of course, than the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, the wisest man on earth, his thoughts were here, and God's thoughts are still as high above his thoughts as the heaven above the earth. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we consider the works of God, we have to always have enough humility to say, you know what? Me, my thoughts are way down here. This is as high as I can go. And God's way up here. And there's some things I just have to trust God with, and the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Then Solomon says that God sets some days against each other. On one side, he sets days of prosperity. And on the other side, he sets days of adversity. And always, he hides the future from our sight. The little phrase on the end, to the end that man should find nothing after him. What that basically means is kind of a hard phrase, but it means you don't get to know what's next. Okay? You don't get to know what is after these things. The fact is that I know more about my eternity than I know about 2021. God has told us some things about the future as concerning the rapture and glorification and the resurrection and heaven and our homes being prepared in heaven and that beautiful city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. We know more about that than we know about next October. We don't know the things that will be after. God has hidden them from us. And so it's important for us as Christians to know how to handle these three times. Times of prosperity, times of adversity, and an unknown, unknowable future. Now consider first, it says, in the days of prosperity, or in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the days of prosperity, we as Christians should rejoice. Now why is it necessary to tell us this? Because we don't do it. We don't do it. Now, here we are 6 weeks into this quarantine, and now we're missing a lot of things, amen? Many of us miss going to church. Some of us miss going to a Mexican restaurant. Some of us miss going to church and then going to a Mexican restaurant. Some of you guys miss going to a barber shop. You're all Nazarites now because they're all closed. And just want to say, you know, we may see the bowl cut come back. Just put a bowl. Women don't want to come to church because their nails are all. They can't get their nails done. But we miss a lot of things that and I know I'm making light of things, but, you know, did we really appreciate what we had when we had it? And I'm not making a joke. I know there's a lot of suffering. There's 22 million Americans out of work now. That's sad. To me, it's terrible and it's a tragedy, and we've done it to ourselves. Well, not me. I haven't been for this, but I mean, we've done this to ourselves as a nation. All these millions of Americans out of work, and businesses closing down, and people are hurting. And even those who have their jobs, oftentimes dealing with survivor guilt, as they've had to let people go, and they still have their job, but they feel bad for those who don't. But I wonder sometimes when we go through times of hardship, how many people 7 weeks ago had jobs, and all they did was complain about their job and their boss? They had a job, and they got a paycheck, and they went to work every day. And all they did was gripe about having to go in. And all they did was say, I wish I didn't have to go to this job, and I hate my boss, and I don't like the way they treat me. Well, now you're not working. Do you still kind of wish maybe in the days of prosperity you'd rejoiced instead of complaining about things that now you don't have? He says in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but we just don't do it. When things are good, we find things to complain about and gripe about and bellyache about, and we take these things for granted. And God is trying to teach us to stop in the day of prosperity while it's actually happening and enjoy the good things in our lives today. Was yesterday a sunny, warm day? Yeah, it was pretty, wasn't it? Did we enjoy it and appreciate it? You know, it's already gone. It's just as dead as 1999. It's in the past. The past is, you know, the present has a quick expiration date. And so often we don't appreciate the good things that we have. In the springtime, I wish it wouldn't rain so much. In the summertime, I wish it wasn't so hot. In the fall, I wish it wasn't so hot. Half a winter, I wish it wasn't so hot. Why? You know, we tend to be negative. We have to make ourselves often be positive. The Bible teaches that God has filled the earth with His goodness. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Why don't we rejoice in the present? Well, I'll give you some reasons. Number one, we're too worried about the future. All full of anxiety and worry. And worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. We're worried about the future. We're anxious about things outside our control. We're focused on the negatives. I read this week. Unblessed is he who thinks himself unblessed. You could be surrounded by blessings, but if you have a victim mentality or an unblessed mentality, you're not going to appreciate all that you have. You're just going to think yourself unblessed, and you're not going to enjoy the blessings that are surrounding you. Frankly, we're greedy. Even though God loads our plate with blessings, we want more. And so when we could be enjoying what we have, we don't, because instead of seeing what's right in front of us, we're thinking about the things we don't have, and that's why I'm not happy, because the things I don't have. You know, there's two ways to be rich. One is to get more stuff, and the second is to be more content with the things you have. To either increase your income or decrease your wants. The man who has everything that he wants is rich. So often we just want, like Carnegie said, $1 more, $1 more, and then I'll be happy, $1 more, one thing more. So we focus on the negatives, we're anxious about things outside our control, we're worried about the future. But folks, listen, what we take for granted, millions of people in this world would never dream of having. The things we take for granted, millions of people would never dream of enjoying some of the things we take for granted. Think how much you would want what you have if you no longer had it. That job you want to complain about, what if you didn't have that job? Do you really want to be filling out unemployment and going in and doing the job search thing again? Your things frustrate you. Would you rather not have them in your life at all? Think how much you would want what you have if you no longer had it. Think about how much you wanted that job when you went and applied for it. The present has a quick expiration date. Kids grow up and we grow old. Things fade away and everything but God changes. This truth was driven home as I'm home this week and I'm walking Lulu, which means she gets a treat. She got mentioned in the sermon. I'm walking Lulu along the, you know, to mix up the quarantine routine, I'm walking around the north side of the house instead of the south side of the house. So I'm walking around and there's a man, I guess in his 30s, and he's got his two little girls and they're in a little pink electric car. You know, I think it was like a Humvee type looking little electric car, and he's driving them up and the girls, you know, are driving and he's walking along because it's not very fast. And I thought, man, that was fun back when our kids used to drive around little toys and stuff like that. You know, you kind of miss when your daughters are small and cute. Now they're driving your cars and you're just praying they don't wreck them. And I thought, yeah, that was fun. We had little kids like that. But you know what? I don't sit there and I don't think, man, I get all sad because those days are gone. I just thank God those days ever happened. A lot of folks would have liked to have had little girls at some point in their life and never have been able to. And I had three little girls and I drove them in little electric cars and stuff like that. And I wanted them to grow up and they have grown up. So why should I be sad because those things are gone? I should be happy that those things ever happened. And I thought, I hope that guy is, I hope he's appreciating the time that he has with his daughters, because before he knows it, they're going to be teenagers and he's going to be driving them in cars. They're going to be driving him in cars and then they'll be driving away. So the reason I think we miss the past is because we never really appreciated it while it was happening. Now, take the time to enjoy today. Have fun with your family while you can. Spend time with your children while you can. Rejoice in your life now as it is now. Not as you want it to be, as it is. Learn to deal with your anxiety and worry and fretting that just sucks all the life out of you and anyone within 6 feet of you. Learn to deal with that. You can overcome such things. You don't have to be carrying the weight of the world around all the time. You can take time to smell the roses and walk your dog and enjoy life. Take time to enjoy today. I've spent too much of my life sitting in the present, thinking about the future, thinking about the past, can't do anything about the past, and there's not a whole lot I can do about the future, and I'm letting everything in front of me pass me by. We need to stop and do what God says here in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Rejoice, smile, have a good time, and thank God for it. We who are sinners don't deserve any days of prosperity. If God had cursed the earth under Adam and said not only is it going to have thorns and thistles, but it's going to rain every day and every night, and you're never going to see sunshine, and everything's going to be miserable until you die and go to heaven, He would have been just in doing so. Instead, God gives us a world that's still pretty good to live in, especially when you live in Texas. And you can't live on Lake Tahoe, so you live in Texas. But I mean, God is good, and we need to thank God for it. God in His mercy. God, when God gives us sunshine and flowers and warm weather and pleasant times, it shows us He loves us, and we ought to rejoice in that and thank Him for it. And don't pine for the past. The past is gone. Thank God that things happened, or forget that they happened, and move on with life and enjoy the present. Number two, in the day of adversity, consider. Let me give you some things to consider. Number one, consider that adversity is part of life. It is our common inheritance from Grandpa Adam. Thank you, Grandma and Grandpa Adam and Eve. Thank you for a world of thorns and thistles. Thank you so much. But that's our common inheritance. I heard someone say this week that pain is the price of being alive. Pain is the price of being alive. It is impossible to have a pain-free existence in this world. Everything worth doing involves pain or the threat of pain. If you don't get married, you never have to worry about getting a divorce. You know the number one cause of divorce? Marriage. 100%. Do you ever think about this, about marriage? There's only two ways out of marriage, divorce or death. So if you did it right, you got to die at the end. Amen. I heard a comedian say that. He said, He said, I should be a divorce lawyer. My theme would be, it's the only way you're getting out alive. Anyway. Now, if you don't ever worry about getting divorced, don't worry about getting married. Or don't marry. But if you want to enjoy the growth and the relationship of a husband and wife, you know what? Then you got to take the risk of pain. You got to take the risk of pain. If you don't want to, if you never worry about losing a child, don't ever have one. If you don't want to worry about a child messing up your stuff in your house and, you know, and growing up and being a surly teenager or being a lousy adult and breaking your heart, then there's a surefire way to make sure that doesn't happen. Never have a child. But if you want to have the child and know the joy of parenthood, then you have to take the risk of having a child. Everything involves a risk, and everything will involve some pain. Everything does. So in the day of adversity, you and I should just consider that, hey, this is part of life. This is part of living. If you just stayed home and never went outside, never, you know, I don't have to worry about getting germs. Never get sick, never have to deal with people. I'll just stay in my house and stay in my living room all the time. But that's not living. That's not living. To live, we have to deal with days of adversity. We have to deal with the risk of pain, the risk of loss. And that's just part of life in this world. It's our inheritance from Adam. And then I should consider my ways as I'm going through a day of adversity. Have I brought this on myself? A lot of folks don't want to face up to things like that. They love to blame others. It's their defense mechanism. Well, why should I look in the mirror and ask myself, are you the problem? When I can blame my boss, when I can blame my parents, I can blame my neighbor, I can blame the pastor, I can blame the system. You know? But have I brought this on myself? You know, maybe when things get turned around, maybe we can take things more like, you know, having that job a little more seriously. Maybe moving our career forward a little more seriously. Maybe savings accounts a little more serious. So I should consider my ways. Then I should consider that God sets these days so. God sets the days of prosperity. God sets the days of adversity. When days of prosperity come, I should thank God for letting me have them. When days of adversity come, I should look for God's purpose. In those days, if He's the one that sets them, then I need to find His purpose behind it. Is God testing me? If so, will I pass the test? Is God refining some part of my life? Is God positioning me to help someone else? We don't consider these things because we're too busy losing our mind to stop and consider that, you know what? Maybe this Euroclidean storm that I'm in, maybe God actually has a purpose. Maybe God's going to cause me to shipwreck on a little island so I can witness to the guy in charge so he gets saved. Remember Acts 27? They had no intention of going to that little island, but God sent them through the storm. They didn't listen to Paul and ended up in the storm, and God put them on a certain island, and Paul ended up witnessing to that man that was in charge of the whole city. We need to look at the problems in life. See, God, it's God that worketh in us. And we need to look to see His purpose and try to align ourselves with His purpose and try to get through this while still being in His will and perhaps even growing spiritually because of it. Then I should consider how much I really need God all the time. See, our problem is in days of prosperity, we start to think, man, this will always be this way, and I got my job, and I'm 401k, and I got my benefits, and everything's fine. You need God then too, folks. And you're definitely going to need God in times of adversity. And sometimes God starts stripping things away, so we realize we need to depend on Him all the time. All the time. All this money can be worthless. All the things we put our confidence in can be gone. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, just trying to be real. We need to have a confidence in an unchanging God because everything else can change. I hope it doesn't, but we understand that it can. And so we need to trust Him at all times. This too shall pass. The time of prosperity, rejoice in it. Why? Because it's going to pass away. It's not going to last forever. So enjoy it while it lasts. The times of adversity, hey, this too shall pass. Sooner or later, this will be over and we'll be back on the other side. And let's just hope that we've been in the will of God and didn't make any dumb decisions and didn't cause any unnecessary damage to ourselves and get through it. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. And then thirdly, the future is mostly out of our hands. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. What's next? You can't know. You don't know nothing about what's coming next. Now, I say mostly because we can affect the future today by our planning and our decisions now. My favorite definition of planning is bringing the future into the present so I can do something about it today. So when we plan our church calendar and many of these things that take months and months, and the ladies' retreat takes a whole year of planning, you don't wait till the last second. You've got to reach into the future and try to make plans today so that those things will fall in place as they should. Right? Have to plan for the future. Well, I just live day to day. Well, from day to day, you ought to give some thought to the future. Because sooner or later, you're going to be there. It'd be good if you took some good, wise steps along the way. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's what God says in Proverbs 6. The ant in harvest time gathers it together and takes it all into its little underground burrows and puts up all these little storehouses and puts grain away for the cold winter months because God designed it to do so. And we, in our time of prosperity, you need to set something aside because the rainy day will come. And many Americans don't do that. We live on a razor's edge. Any little thing would just totally throw us off the cliff. I think some of us, you know, when we get out of this, you know, take Financial Peace University or something, and let's learn how to get our finances under control and build up an emergency fund and a savings fund, because a bump in the road doesn't have to destroy us financially. But we do have to kind of plan for the future. And I'm not brilliant about that, so I always point people to those who are smarter than I am. When Beth and Shelby, before they got married, I had a couple of requirements. I wanted Shelby to have a life insurance policy in case something happens to him. I don't want anything to happen to him. I didn't want Beth to be a young widow. If she is, I want her to be a wealthy young widow. And that's a life insurance is one way you reach into the future. I have a life insurance policy. I've had one for years. And the other thing was I had them read Dave Ramsey's book on financial peace. And they have followed that. And they've done, you know, they're not wealthy, but they've done better than a lot of young folks have in saving and getting ahead materially in life. And that's good. I want them to be, I don't want them to learn everything the hard way like we have. I got off track a little bit. I'm just talking about planning, okay? The ant sets aside, you know. Some of us, we put all our excess into Starbucks and Sonic. Some of that ought to go into a savings account. You know who I'm preaching at right now. So when I say we can, the future is mostly out of our hands, but not totally. You can plan for the future, and you can make decisions that you will enjoy later. Many of the things that I enjoy now were things that we decided on many years ago. Okay, and now we're enjoying the benefit of that. So the future is mostly out of our hands. We can plan. I like the old Jewish Yiddish saying that man plans and God laughs. Because we make our plans and God's watching. He's saying, that's not going to happen. You don't know what's coming, brother. And so we don't know what's going to happen. We still make our plans, but we have to be resilient because our plans may never come to fruition. We sometimes have to change our plans. Ultimately, you don't know the future. Neither does Madam What's-Her-Name on TV. None of these people know the future. If they did, they'd all be buying lottery tickets and they wouldn't be on TV anymore. No one knows the future. James 4 says, "You know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." That's interesting. I've never noticed that. If the Lord will, we shall live. Isn't that interesting? We just consider we're going to live till 80, 90, 100 years old. God says, if the Lord will, we shall live. We don't even know when we're going to die, do we? Much less if we have tomorrow. So what do we do with the future? Well, we should worry ourselves sick over it, obviously. We should just let an unknown and unknowable future just suck all the joy out of life today. No, we should make the best plans that we can. We should make the best decisions that we can. But ultimately, we have to trust God with the future. The future is in His hands. None of us knew what was going to happen in 2020. We thought we were going to sail right into November and have another election. Everything would be great. All of a sudden, a little virus starts spreading around the world and everyone loses their mind. And here we are. And I'm saying we need to learn to trust God. I need to be responsible with things that are my responsibility. But I'm not going to let an uncertain future distract me from enjoying the times of prosperity on this side or considering the days of adversity on that side. All I can live today for is today. The past is dead, the future is uncertain. And I need to live today trusting God, fulfilling my obligations and opportunities. This too shall pass. Oh, Saul, I'm so excited. I look at my ring. Oh, this too shall pass. I need to remember to enjoy it because it's not going to last forever. Oh, I'm so melancholy and sad. I look at my ring. This too shall pass. Sunny days will come again. I just need to consider the work of God at this time. Our Father in heaven, help us to practice what this says. Help us to have faith. Help us to rejoice in the days of prosperity. And even now, even in times of hardship, there are things we can rejoice in because the Bible says rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. So there are things even today that we can be thankful for and enjoy and be full of gratitude concerning. And Father, help us, though, in times of adversity. And some folks are in adversity. They're having job problems. Their hours have been cut. Some have been laid off. We pray, Lord, that You'd please provide for them. Help them, give them opportunities, perhaps to work a part-time job or something, where they can at least be bringing some kind of income in. We pray that You'd help them with that and provide for them. Lord, help us to trust You with an uncertain future. Know that no matter what is ahead, You're already there. And that you know what is best. And You'll guide us each step of the way so we can trust You. I pray now that You bless this invitation time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.